Welcome back to the podcast that makes you faster. We're super happy about the feedback you gave us about the last two episodes. And we're excited that you are back. JP is going to tell me a lot, and you, of course, a lot about aerodynamics in this episode, because it's the introduction into aerodynamics. As I said in the last episode, I'm not so much into the technology, and I have a lot of questions about it. So we just picked that topic for this episode, and this is what we're going to talk about today. Hi, JP. How are you?
Oh, hello. Hello. Good morning, good evening, good day to everybody out there. I'm very well. I'm sitting here on a Friday morning drinking my coffee, and I'm pretty good and ready to get into some aero stuff.
Nice. Yeah, it's Friday morning. We're recording pretty early. It's a good time of the day because I also got some caffeine in. So let's start right away. First things first, how was the past episodes for you? Do you have anything to add there? Or
I thought that was fun to hear. One thing that jumped to me, which I would like to clarify to our listeners, is when I said I do not read, what I meant is I don't read self-help books. I do read. I spend a lot of time reading research reports, and I have been to read and write school. But that was a bit of a weird one when I was listening, but I thought it was fine. I hope it was useful for everybody out there. As always, if you've got questions, if you've got things you would like to hear us discuss, send them through, and we will address them in the following episode for you.
Yeah, cool. The first thing we would like to do today is we are always introducing this podcast that it is the podcast that makes you faster. And today we're just starting right away with an aero tip for all of you. So JP, what's your aero tip for all the cyclists, triathletes, age groupers out there that they can adapt quickly to their setup?
I not only have one aero tip, I have two.
Nice.
To kick off this aero podcast today. Look, the first thing I always say is be aware that you as the human are the biggest resistance in the bike and rider system. So, you know, even as a wheel brand, you know, I would be lying to your face if I said to you, you've got to buy aero wheels. It's the first thing you've got to do. It's not. The first thing you've got to do is concentrate on you, yourself, and how do you make you and your body more aerodynamic. And I've got two tips for that. And that is, number one, do some yoga. One of the best things you can do is just get yourself in a more aerodynamic position. Of course, you've got to make sure you can still push the same watts on the pedals, but get yourself in a more aero position. And if you're a triathlete, make sure you can hold that position for the entire distance. So it's no good if you can hold an aggressive position on your aero bars for 90 kilometers, but you're planning to do a 180 kilometer time trial. That's crap. And like, just to throw it out there, to put in some first numbers, the difference between being in your aero position on the TT extensions and grabbing the base bar is around about 30 to 40 watts at 35 kilometers an hour, double that at 45. Yeah. So being on the base bar is really poison. So you've got to do everything you can not to be there. Tip number one, do some yoga. Build core strength so that you can hold an aero position for longer. Aero tip number two, get yourself a one-piece aero suit. It's a really, in terms of watts for your bang for buck, watts for your euro or whatever you want to call it, that's one of the most efficient buys you can do. We'll get into it afterwards, but you know, we typically see a good suit can bring you well over 10 watts at 35 kilometers an hour, double that. That's at 45 kilometers an hour. So it's a really good investment if you want to go down. So my first two aero tips for the day, yoga and a one-piece aero suit.
Nice. I'll start with yoga today.
I start with coffee.
Okay, fair enough. So thanks a lot for the aero tips. We're talking about aerodynamics today. And the first thing that came up my mind was the Project 101 with Patrick Lange back in 2018. and to explain it to our listeners quickly, if they haven't heard about it. It was a project from Canyon, Sauber, and Swisside, and all worked together to make Patrick faster because he wanted to break the 8 hours mark in Kona and at the World Championships in Kona. And he needed 101 seconds to break 8 hours. And so all of you got together and, you really, really did a lot to make Patrick faster. Can you tell me more about this project?
Yeah, so like you said, Patrick was really close on this 8 hour mark, and Patrick asked us, you know, as we were responsible for his aerodynamics and aerodynamic development, and as we'll get into in this and the next podcast, aerodynamics is the biggest influencer on your speed. It has the biggest impact. It's the biggest performance parameter. So Patrick said, hey, from an aerodynamics point of view, what do I need to do to get these 101 seconds or more? And you know, we said, okay, let's look for more. And we identified straight away in the wind tunnel that there was a lot of potential in the cockpit. You know, we've talked about it in the past, sort of one of the biggest enemies is a cylinder. In aerodynamics, and sort of you've got these two pipes, these two cylindrical shapes that stick out the front of the bike that sit sort of disconnected from the arm in the airflow. And there's a lot of drag associated with that, especially when there's in crosswind conditions. So we said, okay, let's focus on the cockpit, because we were fairly certain that we could get at least 2 minutes out of a cockpit optimization. And in those days, no one was doing anything in triathlon. So we said, okay, Let's do it. So Project 101 was effectively an aerodynamics project around making the cockpit more aero.
Yeah, and you did it, I guess, because he broke the 101 seconds. He broke the 8 hour mark. He was faster on the bike. It was his fastest bike split, I guess, on Kona.
It was what was interesting. It was his fastest ever bike split, and it was his fastest ever run split. And the big learning from that. And it was funny, after Patrick tested the parts for the first time, and we'll get into the development about those parts shortly. But when he tested them, he's like, I know what the aerodynamic gains are, but forget that. The ergonomics is amazing. He goes, I can lie on this bike so much more comfortable. I have a whole lot less tension between my shoulders. I'm saving energy. I'm just more relaxed on the bike. And he goes, I will run faster because of this. And I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, Patrick's a runner. You know, that's his real strength is running.
Yeah.
So what actually got him most stoked was that he saw that not only is there a benefit on the bike, but he saw straight away he knew there would be a big benefit on the run for him. And I've got to say, from my perspective, that was not even on my radar. You know, my job was make him more aerodynamic and faster on the bike. But the flip side of that was that we also made him faster on the run. And that sort of opened up this whole concept to me, which is that aero cockpits are not just aero devices, they're also ergonomic devices that help you. It's just energy saving. So that was the big learning. You can help, good cockpits can help you run faster as well.
Yeah, and that's a kind of kickoff for aerodynamic optimized cockpits, I guess, because since then there are a lot of new cockpits on in the game, and I guess this was the kickoff. So you found out how to make him faster, and everyone else trying to adapt it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was as this collaboration project together with Sauber, the F1 team, and Canyon, you know, we really said we're going to do something that hasn't been done before in triathlon, at least. And like you said, it really kicked off a flurry of development after that. And you've seen as well from us, you know, we've developed a lot at Swisside in terms of cockpit solutions for our athletes since then. Daniela Reef has won world championships on our cockpits, maybe there'll be something in the near future coming from Swisside. Oh. We won't talk about that just yet today. But maybe we should talk about sort of how we did the development on Project 101, like what was involved and so on.
Yeah, super interesting, because what came in my mind was that there is a huge effort from testing and measuring and to the finish line. So my question is, what was the most time consuming part in this aerodynamic cockpit game?
Yeah, so first of all, the most time consuming part was the design. So it was the engineering design, and let's say that includes the aerodynamic shape, that includes mm-hmm. the structural design, and that was all done by us at Swisside. That was our job. And the thing is, what we did is we printed this cockpit out of 3D printed metal, which mm-hmm. Which is why we teamed up with Sauber, because, you know, knowing them being my previous employer in my previous career, I knew that they'd invested in 3D printed metal technology for all sorts of things, mm-hmm. mainly for the roll hoops at a first stage. And I knew that 3D printed metal is difficult. It's yeah. the highest performance solution, but it's really difficult to master. And I knew that they had a lot of experience with their own machine. So people might be asking, well, why didn't you just make it out of carbon fiber? Well, the reason is, you have to make tools, then you have to make a laminate, then you have to then make parts. It gets quite expensive quite quickly. And if you're looking at a prototype for one rider, it's just not cost efficient to do that. So you're better off printing if you can. And so, yeah, with Sauber, we had a chat with them and we came up with the concept. We'd make a sort of a hybrid design. The main structure would be 3D printed titanium, and the secondary structure, the arm shells, would be 3D printed aluminium. And the reason why it's tricky is 3D printed metals aren't like normal metals. So depending on which manufacturer you use, what types of machine you use, what type of curing processes, heat treatment processes, sandblasting mm-hmm. processes, you get different material properties. So it's not like you can just say, oh, I've got this titanium alloy and I can apply these material properties. It's quite specific. And the way you build it, the orientation you build it, all plays a role in the strength of these parts. So we needed a strong partner, and, you know, Sauber making cars, parts of Formula One cars, we knew were on top of that. So that was a great, great partnership to go with them. The most effort was really in this design. So the aerodynamic shape design, that was fairly clear for us. You know, we'd already done some tests in the wind tunnel with 3D printed plastic parts with Patrick. And so we knew what the gains were with the shape. Then we had to design it into a real structure and a lightweight structure. And the cool thing is, another fun fact for those out there with the 3D printed metals, you can actually create a lighter structure than a carbon part, because you can do super thin wall thickness, you can put internal structures, you can do all sorts of fun stuff from a structural point of view, and you can end up with a lighter weight product. So, and you can create any shape you want, some shapes which are not manufacturable by normal methods. So, long story, the sort of whole manufacturing and design and manufacturing part was the biggest challenge and took the most time. And then the cool thing was, you know, with Canyon, of course, it was going on the Speedmax bike at the time, the older version than the one we see today. And, of course, you know, they knew they had all the test rigs in Koblenz for that cockpit and so on. So they took these parts that we developed, and they did all of the testing, both static testing and dynamic testing, fatigue testing, to make sure that the parts were strong enough. And so, it was a really cool project. And I think Patrick did a 7-hour 52 something in Kona that year. So not only did he go under 8 hours, he blew it out of the water, which was epic.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. And I bet that there was a lot of outcome on this project, not only regarding the cockpit, because you've worked so hard together in this team, regarding all kinds of aerodynamic specifics for Patrick, I guess. And for me, it's from time to time, it's hard to get real world comparisons. What aerodynamic efficient really means, when I, what I know as a triathlete, as a part-time triathlete, I would say,
is a pretty good one, I think, you know. Yeah, come on.
It depends. Yeah, but the things that I know is that, as you mentioned, the suit can get you what's out, that you, when you have good wheels and when you are, able to hold that aero position, for a longer time. Like I said, but there's so much more, about aerodynamics that can be compared to the real world, like examples. Do you have any examples that I can imagine more, what aerodynamic efficiency means?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I think most people out there know what, you know, most cyclists, triathletes, have a power meter nowadays. And, mm-hmm. You know how many watts you put in your pedals. So let's talk about watt saving to start off with. And let's pick a speed that's, say, relevant for most athletes. Let's say 35 kilometers an hour. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of the publications we see in magazines and in the press are always focused around 45 kilometers an hour, which is sort of the industry standard. But, mm-hmm. Let's say for normal people like me and probably most of the listeners out there, 35 is probably more relevant. So, like I said before, a good one-piece aero suit, and this applies to road cycling as well as triathlon. You see in the World Tour, all the guys are running one-piece suits nowadays. That's because it's just a shed load faster. So, at 35 kilometers an hour, we're talking more than 10 watts. I've even seen significantly more than that on certain athletes in the wind tunnel when it affects the aerodynamics and how the air flows on their body. But yeah, suits make a big difference over like a two-piece top and shorts solution. And textiles and fabrics are really sensitive to aerodynamic drag. So there's actually a lot we can do there. Maybe another example, helmet. We talked at the beginning, your body, true, you as the human, are the biggest source of drag. You're about 75% of the drag of the bike rider system. So, like we said, first point of call, you, your body. So we started with the suit. Look at your head. Your head's kind of a bit of a sphere. It's not so aerodynamic. So throw a good aero helmet on it. Typically, there's about 5 watt saving at 35 kilometers an hour from between a road helmet and a TT helmet. So there's some good savings there. Difference between a standard bike frame and a really well optimized bike frame. In triathlon, we could say good bike frames are Canyon Speedmax, Cubarium, Scott Plasma, the old model, new models. They're all really good bikes, and compared to like just a standard bike frame, which you might start with in triathlon, you're looking at least 10 watt savings, 35 kilometers an hour. Wheels, Swisside, a wheel brand, there's a good 8 watts to be had there at 35 kilometers an hour. In the wind, we'll come to it later, sailing effect, then the wheels can be massive. They can trump basically anything here in the right wind conditions, but we'll talk about sailing effects and the effect of wheels later.
Yeah.
And the last one, my favorite, shaved legs. I do my leg shave challenge each year. So for those who don't know, I let my my Chewbacca legs grow over the winter. Jan van Berkel always has a Chewbacca index, and he gives me Chewbacca index sort of 7 or 8 out of 10. And then we go into the wind tunnel, and I do a before and after shave back to back without touching anything, the bike, the suit, I personally, at 35 kilometers an hour, I personally measure in the order of 7 to 8 watts, which is huge. Let's say I've done this with a number of riders. Let's say typically 5 watts at 35 kilometers an hour. So shaving legs really actually does bring something. It's not just a myth of the cycling world.
The answer to all the people that are always asking, like, why do you shave your legs? This is the answer. It's 5 watts.
It's like I'm efficient. I'm a performing machine. if we go over, just a quick recap, suit 10 watts, bike frame 10 watts, helmet 5 watts, wheels 8 watts, shaved legs 5 watts. You're looking easily in the order of 40 watts at 35 kilometers an hour, right? And if we say like a typical athlete during that speed will be doing about 200 watts. Right?
Yeah.
In terms of the power they put in the pedals. So you're talking about a 20% power saving here.
That's a lot.
Which is insane. So, and like, let's talk about an Ironman, a full Ironman distance, 180 kilometers. You're looking at about 27 minutes saving. Mm. 27 minutes. Like, this is not marginal gains. And, you know, it's about 15 minutes per 100 kilometers that you can save. So it's massive. And final comparison, how many gels is that? We've got some nutritionists and physiologists sort of at Swiss side, and it's in the order of 6 to 7 gels that you can save by doing this air optimization. So there's 40 watts, 35 kilometers an hour. So, and that's absolutely possible for anyone who, let's say, who comes to triathlon. They start with a road bike, which they've put clip-on aero bars on, and they want to sort of upgrade step by step. And, you know, to a fully optimized setup, these are sort of the numbers we're talking about. You know, you're approaching half an hour on an Ironman distance for an amateur.
That's a lot. Coming half an hour short, coming off with fresh legs, being able to run faster, that's really a lot.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Wow. And as you said, sailing effects, we're talking about this later. In another episode, I guess, we will do this a bit more.
I think we need to – the wheels and sailing effects, that's an episode in its own.
Yeah,
that's it's really – pretty cool, though. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're talking about discs and everything. Sure. About disc wheels, the mystery of disc wheels, if they are really that that intense or – yeah. what I learned is regarding aerodynamics, it's not all about time savings, but power savings.
And also. Energy. And energy savings, you know, just being fresher. And, you know, we talk, we do a lot of work with World Tour teams as well in the pro cycling scene. And, you know, we talk a lot about the energy savings. And it's not so much, I'm saving this many watts or you can go this much faster because you're in the peloton, blah, blah, blah. It's in like a multiple week stage race, like the Tour de France. It's an energy game. You know, the Tour is won and lost in the last week. And it's a game of energy. And if you're saving, you know, 6 to 7 gels worth of energy, you know, 40 watt hour, you know, all day long on the bike, you come into the third week and you are just fresher. And it's like in a triathlon, you come onto the run, you're just fresher and you can perform better at the tail end of the race, and that's where the race is won or lost.
Yeah. Wow. Super interesting. I just saw that you guys were in Paris-Roubaix last weekend.
Yeah, we were. That was amazing.
It looked super cool.
That was amazing. I've got to say, and a big call out to the guys at Van Rysel Decathlon for inviting us up. That was an amazing experience. They decked us out on the new RCR road bikes,
nice,
with all decked out with Swiss side wheels, and they took us riding on the most famous cobble sections in Roubaix, and riding 32mm tires at around about 3.5 to 4 bar was a dream. Absolutely brutal, but so much fun at the same time, and amazing. Yeah. And looking forward to doing more in that direction in the future too.
Nice. I guess this is the only race in the Pro Tour or in the Pro World Tour that you cannot just lay on aerodynamics.
No, for sure. Like, it, particularly on the cobbles, on these cobble sections, you know, it's a whole topic in itself, but tire choice and tire pressure make a big difference. But aerodynamics is huge as well. Like, I just want to put it out there. Still, for that race, even though you're talking about huge savings getting the right tire pressures on the cobbles, and we're talking savings of up to 100 watts. This is crazy numbers, right? But let's put that aside, because that's a topic of rollover resistance, not rolling resistance. You know, when you're jumping, your whole mass of your whole bike and rider system is moving up and down. But aerodynamics is still the number one performance parameter in Roubaix. And so you're still seeing the guys, you know, this year they were, you know, average speed sort of up towards 50 kilometers an hour.
Crazy.
You know, Roubaix is all about breakaways as well. So you get these groups of, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 riders up the front trying to break away. So, yeah, even in a course like Roubaix, Paris-Roubaix, aero is still king.
Crazy.
But the cobbles are crazy. The cobbles are crazy.
Yeah, my God. Cobbles are really, so really crazy. You've been to the forest of Arenberg, I guess.
We were in the forest of Arenberg. And I was just, my God, I looked at these cobbles and I was like, oh my God, they're going to have to ride over these things. And lo and behold, 200 meters up the road was that big crash.
Yeah,
amazing to see these guys come through and their faces, like, to see the pros like gritting their faces like as they're just pummeling themselves through this thing was amazing to see. Utmost respect for those guys. And then to read in the press afterwards that Cameron Wharf decided to go and run a half marathon afterwards.
Yeah,
good on you, Cam, you know, like that's pretty crazy.
There are normal people and then there's Cameron Wharf.
Then there's Cam Wharf, so yeah.
really cool. So really cool, really interesting insights into aerodynamics. I've learned a lot, and the takeaway for all the age groupers and athletes out there are pretty clear. So get yourself an aerosuit, do some yoga, and if you want to get some more gains out of your aerodynamic game, then you have to just listen to this episode again, and we will put a link down in the comments where you can see some more insights about all of the numbers we were talking about, like the wattage you can save with all the different things we just mentioned. And it was really, really cool. Thanks a lot for this insight. And I guess for today, we are done. Or do you have anything to add?
No, I think we're done. I mean, maybe one last closing comment just for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone asks me, what speed, from what speed is aerodynamics important? Well, I can say from about 15 kilometers an hour, aerodynamics is the dominant resistance. So mm-hmm. it trumps weight, it trumps rolling resistance, it trumps everything else. So, you know, really it plays a role at all relevant speeds in racing. Mm-hmm. And I always sort of say to triathletes, you know, above 25 kilometers an hour, you need to be on your time trial bars. Between 20 and 25, you can choose where you feel you can bring the most power. Below 20, you know, you can probably choose to be on the base bar if that's important, and you know, changing your position is also important. But yeah, that's sort of basically in a nutshell, from 15 kph, aero is the dominant, uses the most power in your pedals. If you want to be faster or use less energy, focus on your aero setup.
That's a good closing. Focus on your aero setup, everyone. Nice. So thanks a lot for listening, and tune in for the next episode. Follow us on all of our social media channels, and we wish you a great time, and we'll be back pretty soon.
See you guys. Thank you.
See you.